Very well to blame him.
You didn't have any trouble at the border getting into Austria?
No. We got the booming, we missed the ship. Here we're penniless, homeless, nothing. All I had was buttons. Hundreds of buttons.
Why did you have all these buttons?
Well, how about I turned into money. I got some money for it somehow. I don't remember whether I got it in a home or sold it or somehow. But buttons that I won from the boys in solo ship.
Now, what kind of, like, just regular buttons?
Regular buttons. That time they had, not these artificial...
Oh, like little silver ones.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyways, that's how we got those oranges, whatever it was. And we get Bremen, and the ship left. Just missed it. Just in time. Now I know that must have been from the highest or whatever they call the Jewish organization that put us up in some stinky place that it was lousy. It was so. And we had to wait a whole week to get another. You want to know the ship finally. I says to my brother, well, we had nothing to eat. They didn't give us food, but they put us up the steep somehow. I went over to the telegraph office I don't remember whether it was a man or a woman. I think it was a woman in charge. I wanted to send a telegram. I sent a telegram to my sister. It didn't take 10 minutes. I got 10 golden, 20 kronen. Suddenly we were rich already. Had some money. Bought stuff. But you see, she didn't realize that. Evidently, she must have turned over and sent a telegram, collect. I sent him a telegram that we were stranded. So we finally get on the boat.
Do you remember the name of the boat?
Yeah. Nobody else remembers, but I remember because I had to take my citizen papers and I think that the name of it was Rhine, that means clean, and it was a cattle ship. I don't think it was a ship for human beings. We were down in the third class. My sister said, I shouldn't say that. I said, why not? I'm going to write about it, there's nothing to hide. You see, in Solish, I suppose in Chicago as well, and many of the eastern states, I don't know how much you know about it, the kids are lousy. They're full of lice. It was quite prevalent in Hungary. But sir, you don't want to be lousy. What are you going to do about it? I was never fancy. And we didn't have hot water running, hot water or steam heat or anything of the kind. But every Saturday night, I put up whatever it was, a pot of water, and there was some kind of a makeshift pan, and dipped my hair with kerosene. But good. And there was no license that was there. Listen. I get on that lousy ship and they start picking like this. And I wanted to die. You know. And then...
But you were in a cabin, the three of you were in a cabin?
My sister and I were in one bunk. There were three bunks, you know, the... My brother was in a different cabin.
So there were six in a cabin.
I don't know how many there were. There was one big, it was like a barn.
Like a dormitory?
Like a barn, no dormitory. But my brother was at the other end of the ship somewhere.
Oh, so they, like all, they separated the boys and the girls?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to make up the bed, and my poor sister Fanny was sick. I shouldn't dare tell her. I said, get away, I gotta make the bed. I want to freshen it up a little bit. I hit her, I said, she was so sick. Look, I couldn't stand myself. It wasn't nice. I kept on coughing. I was sick all the way. But nothing had nothing to do with it. And I couldn't eat this stuff. As hungry as we were, and they had a kosher kitchen.
Oh.
They had a kosher kitchen. I couldn't eat. You see, yet I couldn't eat this stuff. And I was hungry. We had a few pennies, so... The son is there. I shouldn't say that. I pushed her off the bed. And she cried, poor thing. She was sick. I had to freshen up the place. And my brother would make friends with a sailor there, but kuchen. You know what kuchen is? Coffee cake. So we ate that. We had that. They had tin cans, so you'd have to stand in line and get that. Whatever it was that I couldn't eat. None of us, we couldn't eat it. So we bought a box of sardines. We had the $10, 10 gulden, and kuchen, and I bought beer. All right. So we're on the ship 16 days.
Was it rough?
Oh my God, this is what I tell you. I think we were on there about 10 days, and you know, when the ship goes this way, it's not bad. But when it starts going this way, you know, you're going. I liked the Russians anyways, as a child, you know, it was bred into me. Orospuros and the Galiciano, they were crying. I said, what the hell are they crying? I thought to myself, what are they all crying? And they puked, you know, it was an awful thing. I took the, you know, the Fikremenis, you know, well, my father, the gate, left before he... Why he gave it to me, and not to my brother, or my... Well, I had the Fikremen. I picked the Fikremen too, and all the four, and she, fate, believed. And I laughed. I was laughing, and the water was coming in, heavy. Oh, it was coming in. Everybody took the lifesavers down. It was really all talk about. And I kept on laughing. So he came over and he hit me on the head. He said, what the hell are you laughing? The ship is going under. He said, you are going under. I said, nothing. By 7 o'clock in the morning, somehow it stopped. And then I went out and I picked along with others. What am I made out of, iron? But I wasn't afraid. So, all right. So that's all of it. We finally get to Castle Garden. Okay. Castle Garden.
You didn't go to Ellis Island?
That's Ellis Island. Castle Garden. I can see, you know, at night when I, to this day, it's either, now I take that as a last resort. Like Brookwood helps me a lot. You know, I go to Brookwood. But the last resort is when I land, really, in Ellis Island. We finally land in Ellis Island. No address. Yes, then we had to stay another, we were quarantined, there was some contagious disease. We had to stay another, I don't remember, it was another 2 days or whatever it was.
On the boat or
on the boat, on the boat. No. So we get out and we have no money to show, you had to show some money. You had to have an address, where the hell are you going? Then, as I say, and the ship cards, my brother put his shoe on his sole. He sold it in. That's how he got across the border. You see, he had all the. I forgot to mention. But when we got to Ellis Island. No address, no money, no nothing.
You didn't need papers to get in?
What?
You didn't need any papers to get in.
We didn't... No, at that time it was... They had to have tests, but they examined you for your health. But you have to go somewhere. You have to have some money. So, I sent a telegram. I remember this, I told you that I corresponded with Zlata. I remember 121 Lincoln Street. And I sent it to Chicago. I didn't send South Chicago, North Chicago, and Chicago, Illinois. So it took 3 days until they finally got it. They sent us money. And finally,
so where did you stay though? On Ellis Island while you were waiting for the money?
Yeah. And they came in on a DNO. I remember they sold us some packages with salamis. But anyway, we got to Chicago. LaSalle Street Station. 1 o'clock in the morning. And there's a sign out. I said, Desiree, this is not Chicago, this is restaurant. So that's it. In brief, it's and I went to work the same day.
But Sarah, how come it was all right for you to work as a domestic there? Your first job was as a domestic, wasn't it? For that butcher's wife.
Yeah. Well, I didn't stay there. Listen, but what the hell did I know? Well, we were in a strange country, like quite plenty. Then you see, it was Erev Pesach. Somewhere before, it was in April. Just as nice, I wanted to go home to my father's soda. I didn't give a damn. I didn't know where I was, but I went. I told you how I went. I can see that old maid, that sour looking, poor Polish woman didn't know herself where she was at. What did I want from her? But I expected everybody to know. And I was listening, maybe I'll hear somebody Hungarian. But you see, I had no fear. I only feared God. That carried me a hell of a long way. That really put me through. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know how to get home. I didn't know what a train. I went on the street train with the world for 5 cents. They gave me a transfer. No, I didn't. So what is a transfer? Who's a transfer? I got home. So what happened? I went into a butcher shop. One couldn't understand. So I went in another one until somebody understood German. I didn't give up. I walked, and it wasn't too far from my home, but I didn't know where I was at. I didn't know where I was at. And I could walk it. I walked much further to work. See, when I got acquainted, I walked much further to work. So it wasn't the business, just that I didn't know what I was doing. So when finally I got a hold of somebody that had compassion, and when she took me as far to the front of the house, and the Jews were all congregated for noon, my father's prayer. I kissed her hand like they do in New York. No, I didn't want to do that. I was considered an outcast because when I was an apprentice, I didn't do it. They reported me. And I didn't behave myself. I used to take the dress and put it down. I didn't want their tips. And I didn't want to kiss their hand. For no reason. It's the law or the custom, whatever it is. But I didn't want to do it. There were the fears, see? But I was in the tina, in the church. My teacher who taught me to read and write. Marishka. Tipalikishasan, you know, I remember the name. I see her in front of me.
What was the name?
Marishka. Tipalik Marishka. Marishka. Tipalik Marishka. I don't know what that means, Tipalik. And she lived in the tower of the church. So I didn't want to kiss her hand. But I didn't want her to tip, and I. Later on, I didn't know, so what? Kiss. I get so much tips because after all, they didn't know, they knew my family. I had big tips. I did more tips than anybody else. I get nice tips. And I lived a good day. I weighed 140 pounds at the age of 12. That was all right. I used to come home before that with nothing. I'd take a big can of coffee. But now I use saccharine because I got diabetes. At that time I used it because there was no sugar. And if there was bread, I'd take a big chunk of bread and dip it in, and I was satisfied. Still my hunger. Then I got something that was with my niece. I think I must have been about 3 years old. There was nothing in the house. And my father scraped together some crumbs and cornbread for the two of us. My niece, the picture that you saw, my sister used to send her to us. She was too busy with her business, so used to send the kids to us. And my father, my mother was out, I suppose, trying to, this is, I surmise, must be not searching for some food for us. In the meantime, we kids, babies, were hungry. My father scraped together the crumbs from cornbread and poured some hot water over it in a plate. And then when we stilled our hunger, we turned it over to the one animal. It was so tasteless, so miserable. I started poking in the plate. Yeah, they had a real life.
Well, your father never got paid for teaching the yeshiva boys?
Oh, yes, sure, if I collected it. When I grew up, I went to collect. That was my first love, Franklin Ignatz. I understand that he got killed in the First World War. What I lived through, no. You see, now, there was, he was so poor. There are poor people and there are poor people. Let's see, yes, it was on a peso, full peso. There was nothing. There were no matzahs, no wine, no nothing. My mother made out 10 notes, individual notes. My two brothers were home. Fanny was home. Of course, Rose was a baby. Go to the banker, go to the London man, go to the this one, to the 10 people, to the wealthy people, alone. No, see? Not begging. My mother never paid it back. But it wasn't begging. Give us a loan. We had to pay it back. I went. I brought home 10 gold. There was bread, there was matzah, there was wine, there was all something. It's strange. Now, the only one that knows about it, my sister, maybe she remembers somewhat. See, the rest don't know anything about it. After all, I'm the only one that's left. That's the kind of life we led.
Well, Sarah, when did you move to Natchez?
I'm 5 years old.
What was the name of the village? You were born in
I was born in Veretsa.
That doesn't sound Hungarian.
Veretsa?
How do you spell that one?
It's
And how, but this was a small town.
Yeah, that was very small.
There was no shul there. Was there a shul there?
A shul? Yeah, oh yeah.
Now, was your father the rabbi of the shul there?
No. He was teaching.
Oh. But then in Natchez, was he the rabbi of the shul?
He was teaching in Natchez. He was teaching, and then he was a safer. He would fix the tailor, and he fixed food, and he prepared the students for the rabbinical, the rabbi. Now, I told you that I went to collect this Franklin, the lawyer's son, my first love. I must have been a little bit of 9 or 10 years of age. That was number one. Then when I was about 11 years old, they used to come from the vicinity, all around there, from Holme, from Sokmar, from
Where? That's where my mother-in-law was from, Sukma.
Sukma. But they come from many, many states. I remember they used to come all with their clothes and food. And there was one, and I think, I don't know where he came from, Sigurd, I think. He must have been about 13 or 15 years old. I must be 12, 11 months. He had curly tails, like I was under the feather bed. I fell in love with him. In my mind, I fell in love with him. My father was preparing him for the big stuff. Now, is there anything else that you want right now? You had enough for today?
Do you remember anything? Is there anything else about the trip you remember that you want to tell me? Were most of the people on the boat Jews? Since it was, they had a kosher kitchen.
Yes. No, not necessarily, but there was a kosher kitchen, and most of them were Jews. That was, third class was mostly Russian and Polish Jews. It was most horrible thing, most horrible. And then, you want to know the contrast, on the Queen Mary, and I got pictures of her.
So did you keep thinking about the contrast on your trip?
I make mention of it. I scribbled about it. I wasn't enough the fruit, the delicacy that I had. I ordered wine not only for myself, I was a sport for the people around me. And after all, I didn't have a bed of roses. I have something here. It was an interesting life. It's funny. I don't think, I'm glad it's nearing its end. You see, some people want to live forever. God damn it, I don't. I'm so glad that I'd like to go to sleep it was all right. My nephew that I'm talking about. Here. 63 years ago, Amy Jacob was born in the city of Chicago. So what about it? Is there anything out of the ordinary? In this case, into this scribbler, it means a great deal. A great deal for various reasons. In order to expedite the uniqueness of Amy's birth, it should be noticed that first of all, he was born 5 months after his father died. That incident, though not common, however, in this case, this scribbler is the sister of the mother, Amy Jacobs. And at his birth, was age 17. So what? So what is so outstanding? Being present at the birth of a child. Perhaps little or nothing. Who knew and know of this episode that the scribbler as most things in life, since 1910, is and has been connected with the union, for the memory is, in this case, it was from the picket line of the 1910 General Kerouac's strike, the birth of Emil Jacobs is best remembered. Mm-hmm. It was a scribble.